Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus prayed, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their words, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory which you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." The Gospel of the Lord. That they all may be one. It's that simple. Jesus sums up the purpose of all of the stories, all of the parables, all of the pain, and all of the joy. It is all there so that we may be one. That the whole scandal of God becoming embodied in human flesh was so that we all may be one. The glory revealed in John's gospel when Jesus hangs on a cross is so that we all may be one. All of it. The whole thing is so that we might be one. So I wonder, how are we doing at that? Like, how is the church doing with that? How's the culture doing with that? Have we finally perfected unity over these last 2,000 years? I mean, you and I both know that a quick scan of social media or a glance at the news or even a walk through Chicago gives us a pretty darn failing grade. The political realm has deep divisions. Christian denominations are fracturing. Our city is extremely segregated, with a widening gulf between the rich and the poor. And for generations, we have seen that our dualistic minds are incapable of creating unity. We must have someone or something to label as other. It's us versus them. And it even happens in the church. I mean, if we think about the early church, it was us Christians versus them Jews. And then it was us Christians versus them Muslims. And then we added us Protestants versus them Catholics. And still today, it's us expansive Christians versus them literalistic Christians. You see, our dualistic minds are killing us. Literally, hate crimes and mass shootings and environmental destruction are killing us. And so Jesus' idea, it is so simple at face value, but seemingly impossible. It's so simple because Jesus' unity is built on one thing and one thing alone: love. Jesus' entire message is what theologian Richard Rohr describes as unitive consciousness. That is, unitive consciousness is an awareness that we are all one in love. And that the Christian journey, from a Lutheran perspective anyway, is all about love. And I have to say that I've never had anyone object to that principle. I've never had anyone write me a nasty email saying, no, Jesus isn't talking about love at all. You know, Jesus loved humanity to the bitter end. Jesus showed loving kindness to all people. And after all, if you're anything like me, you probably memorized that pesky verse back in confirmation class from John's Gospel that states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," right? Anybody remember what the verse is for that? John 3:16, right? You can see it at like football games sometimes. Somebody always wants to be holding that up, right? So, if we finally come to terms that humans are pretty darn selfish and we're stuck in a dualistic mind of us versus them, then it makes sense that Jesus would take the final moment, the very last things that he says before he's arrested and before he's tried and convicted and crucified, the very last thing he says to his disciples is a prayer for unity, a unity found in love. And in a few short moments here in this place, we'll welcome 14 new members into our church. And sure, in that moment, we're going to say the Apostles' Creed together as we connect with the ancestors of our faith. Sure, we're going to give them some goodie bags, some bling, some swag to kind of show off. And sure, you guys are going to be really great and you're going to welcome them in this community. But the essence of what we're doing here today is more than a formal ritual. The essence is that together we are all committing to support one another in striving to live out the mission to love all people. And we do that not because it's just the right thing, which it is, but because it is Jesus's thing. It's specifically Jesus's thing because it's the primary expression of how we live out our faith every day. And so I wonder, so how does that come about? What does that look like in the church? Well, yesterday, the council gathered together for its annual retreat, where we planned what the congregation was going to be focusing on and doing in the year ahead. And we also got a chance to review the ministry evaluation that most of us took last month. And I have to say, every single year, since we began this practice, the lowest ranked item in regards to how people feel about how this church is doing is regarding equipping them to live out their faith. Always the lowest thing. So people are feeling like we're not equipping you all to live out your faith. And so I know it's kind of like a funky question, and it's like, what in the world does that actually mean? That's like loaded church lingo. I'm not sure, so maybe I'll just like rate that lower since I don't really know what it means, right? That could be it. It also could be that like maybe we're not doing a good job at equipping you, right? Like, face value. So, I think today's gospel gives us a simple answer, a really darn simple answer. That is, if we, as a church, are helping people to think about how to love with a self-giving and servant-minded kind of love, then we're equipping you to live out your faith. You following me here? Is that making sense? Okay. So, I'm gonna keep going, because you know that's what I do. So, might be easy, right? So if you're given opportunities and you're supported in those opportunities to serve this assembly by welcome people, by serving people with the night ministry, by serving with letter writing campaigns, then you're equipped. You're equipped. If you are given opportunities and supported in the ways that you show love each day, the ways that you show love to your spouse, to your children, to the person you walk by on the corner of the street, then you're equipped. And so I feel like Jesus is kind of reminding us today to apply the KISS principle to our faith. And what I mean by the KISS principle is that we keep it simple, silly. I'm going to do the G-rated version, by the way. So KISS, an acronym standing for keep it simple, silly. And so here, I want to get us a chance so that you feel equipped, that you're kind of engaging with this a little bit more. And so we're going to do a KISS exercise that is even so simple that if I made the children's message about it, they would get it. Like, it would be that simple, okay? So take a moment to brainstorm a way or multiple ways that you embody Jesus' call to be one, okay? Or if I were to give it to the children, like, how can you love someone? How can you love someone, right? With that servant-minded love, which I wouldn't say to the kids. I would just say, oh, like, how do you love, you know? Okay, so take a minute. Take a minute to think about what that would be, and then you know what I'm going for. I'm going for a mic. All right, who is equipped? Who is equipped to tell me how you can love someone? This is like kindergarten level. Everything you learned was in kindergarten. Wow. No one? Is our education system that poor in this country?
Just listen to them.
Listening to them. Wow. And gosh, in our current like political and social climate, like listening to someone, that is like huge love. Like you're going over and top instead of talking at them. So how else can we love people? Tara. I feel like the Tarzan song, I Can Go the Distance, is what I'm thinking in my head right now as I get back here.
Making time for them.
Making time for them. Time is probably one of our more limited resources, right? Bill.
Serve them, like the night ministry or something?
Yeah, so serving through the night ministry, and that's giving of our time, connected with time. It's also listening, it's kind of pulling all these together. Can we get a few more? Y'all are good at this. You're equipped. So, Allie.
Making sacrifices, especially when you don't want to do something, and giving it up.
Sometimes love is doing the things that you don't want to do for somebody else, going to that work event that you really just don't want to be at, right? Val?
I think it's understanding.
Understanding. And so that's taking it one step past listening. So instead of just, well, hearing. So I would argue that hearing and listening are different things, right? Hearing is words coming in, and then listening is actually trying to understand. Did I see somebody back here? I think I saw, so I did not see you stand, but we'll get you next, and then I'm coming back there, and then you guys are like totally equipped. Do you know how equipped you all are? You see this? This is great.
Humility, just thinking of putting the other person first.
Yeah. Reminding ourselves that we don't have all the answers. That's huge. That's love.
Caring for people.
Let's see, I'm coming back here. This is the most equipped congregation I've ever seen.
Love them with all your mind so you will love God.
Can you say that one more time? I was talking.
Love them with all your mind, heart, and soul that you will love God.
Yes. So love God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. So that's integrating what we're thinking, what we believe, and what we're doing, right? So that integration, that balance. Now, I'm not trying to inflate next year's survey, but you know you all equipped, right? Like, you got this. This, like, I think the language is tripping us up. You are equipped. And we could go on and on and on. And if you want to write little notes to me on the deepen slip, I'll take them. I'll keep coming. Because you've got this, right? I mean, and we could go on and we could say, we could talk about how when we advocate for the poor to have equitable access to resources. Love. Right? When we smile at a cashier instead of just passing them by like they don't exist and like they're a machine, because they're not, it's not self-checkout, right? When we actually treat them as human beings, love, living out your faith, right? When we're empathetic when a loved one has a hard day, even if we've had a pretty darn, what's a nice way to say this? A not good day, right? And we could go on and on and on and on and on. And I mean, so, like, So how are you? Are you feeling equipped to live out your faith by loving? Can I? I'm just going to take a different survey here. Okay, people still aren't. All right, let's do this again. Seriously, two more examples until we get everyone to feel like they're equipped. All right, let's keep going.
Just showing up.
Showing up.
Just being there.
Embodied presence. Like, I don't know that we get how scandalous it was for God to take on human form in Jesus. That was a huge scandal. Like, that's huge. I mean, most faith traditions want to put God as, like, something untouchable, but for God to be among us in human form, that's huge. So showing up is embodying our faith by being there. Let's get one more. And then we're going to take another poll again, and we'll just keep going. I mean, this is a work day for me, so I can be here all day.
Simple acts of kindness, like opening the door for someone or helping with a heavy load.
Acts of kindness, opening a door, heavy load.
Smiling and saying hello to strangers.
Smiling, saying hello to a stranger. I mean, when was the last time you walked by somebody who was asking for food or for money and you actually looked them in the eye or asked them their name even instead of just treating them like something else? So how are we feeling? Are we feeling equipped? Who's feeling equipped? Okay, that's better. Still not perfect, but I'll take it from a failing grade to like maybe a C+, B-. All right, so you've got the tools. You've got it. And here's the thing. So we keep coming back here each week, not because you don't got the tools, because you do got the tools. You got it. I see it. I hear it. I understand it. But because here each week, we get a chance to see example after example after example of how Jesus is showing us best practices for loving other people, right? Each week, we gather here to embody that love as we welcome the stranger in this place. Each week, we embody the love as we gather at this table for Holy Communion without needing to show credentialed cards or proving that you're good enough to be here, because you're not good enough, I can tell you that now, but you're still welcome here. Everyone's welcome here. And we gather here each week to embody that love so that then we can be focused on it and we can go out into the world to share that love every day. So friends, the point of this whole sermon is to remind you that Jesus is saying, keep it simple, silly. Because sometimes we just want to make things harder than it needs to be. Sometimes we think the gestures of faith need to be these huge things like being burned at the stake or hanging on a cross. But today Jesus reminds us that he's got that whole hanging on the cross thing locked down. So instead, we have an opportunity to just simply work to love all people. And we can start there. We have the opportunity to start there because we have first been loved by our God. And friends, because it is Easter season and because we're focusing on resurrection, I would remind you that as we enact God's love in those little things and those big things that you mentioned, then we will most certainly experience resurrection as we become one together. Thanks be to God. Amen.